Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast. All the stuff we didn't get to during the course of the show today.
This is our second conversation about abortion and we should do about the baby.
Part two.
That was a long one. That was a real long one. No, I have that update. Remember the other day we had talked about the bridge that fell?
Baltimore
Bridge, yeah, the Francis Scott Key Bridge. And I'm like, the government, Biden's like, I want Congress to give money to rebuild this bridge, and we got to do this. And I was like, wait, what about the insurance companies that the ship has and that the bridge, whoever owns the bridge, the company that manages that, has an insurance policy? Yeah, turns out they did. Mm-hmm. And you see, the bridge was built for $60 million in 1970.
Ooh. Oh, that would be worth more now.
$316 million now.
Okay.
Crazy.
I was going to say, in my head, I'm like, that doesn't sound too expensive.
But the Maryland Transportation Authority, basically, it funded the building of the bridge. But there is an insurance claim on the bridge that was filed in the 26th of March, and it's capped out at $350 million. So there you go. There's your funds to redo the thing. You do not have to go to the government to solve this problem. And this is a chance for the government to yet again do another spending bill, point at Republicans for not being on board, and work things into a spending bill. It's crazy. The money is there to cover it through the insurance. And then you put the boat insurance on top of that. You got it covered, guys. Like, it's absolute crazy that doesn't need to be in there. It's a total political move. As we come into the, you know, boy, we're going to be right down to it with the election coming up. And Trump still hasn't officially been given the nomination because we don't have the RNC yet. And there's been no word, as far as I know, on a vice president. I could see him being the first president to not want a vice president.
Oh, for sure.
I could see him being like, do we really have to?
They seem absolutely, that seems like an obsolete role when it comes to him.
Oh, yeah. Kamala Harris is pointless.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Biden was pointless when he was,
Who was the last vice president that actually felt like,
did anything?
Yeah, that felt like they made an impact.
Couldn't tell you.
Stepping up if somebody passed away.
Yeah. Sometimes the first lady has a little bit more predominance and impact when they take on the pet projects and their charities.
I remember more about Michelle Obama's action during Obama's reign than anything Biden did.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy. So anyway, there's a TV show. This was kind of an interesting, almost like hypocrisy. There's a TV show called Bridgerton, and it's one of these romance period pieces, and women love it, and
it's
stuff.
Salacious,
but it's salacious and
don't watch it.
And raunchy. And I hate to say raunchy, but it almost is like, oh, but it's romantic, and it's got a lot of trash in it, obviously, but it's done fairly well. I think they're on their third season or something like that.
They are.
But one of the ladies, you seem to know a lot about this.
I've watched
a couple episodes, and I was like, I am so far out on this. I'm done. There's no way I want to watch
it. I wish I didn't.
Yeah. So Nicola Coughlin, I don't know her, but she's from Bridgerton. She's an Irish Catholic, and her family doesn't love all the racy stuff on the show. So she has it written into her contract that they have to make a PG cut of the TV show for her family to watch. Doesn't that seem like kind of like hypocritical, you know?
You could find another actress.
Yeah, but you're like, okay, I realize this is bad, and I don't want my family to be exposed to it, but you don't care if it's out there for other families to be exposed to it and other kids to watch it and sneak watch it when their parents aren't around. Because I believe it might be a Netflix show.
It is.
So it's not like it's on. You better have, like, if you have Netflix, you better have child protection filters on there, too, because they can just get to anything. And there's a lot of stuff on there that's not good. But it's interesting that's what she gets for season three. They make a separate edit that takes all that stuff out so that she can show it to her family.
So they did do it?
Yeah, they do it. Yeah, it's in her contract.
Confirmed?
Yeah.
That's on another.
Yeah.
Like, that's on an editor. That's on a team of people to spend more time working. Wow.
I wonder how clean they make the edits. Like, they're like, okay, here comes the love scene they want to cut out. Do they, for her family, just chop it, slam it together and go? Or do they, like, make a nice transition? If you're an editor, you're still going to want to make it nice. But I'm sure, yeah, what's up, Rock?
I mean, I'm guessing that they know that that's not the real version that people are seeing. So the only way that I'm thinking she justifies this is it's a way for her family to still see the work that she does.
Correct.
Yes.
But not see
the work she does or the rest of it.
All the work that she does.
Yeah. She said, it's literally written into my contract. People think I'm saying it as a joke. I just don't want to. I grew up Irish Catholic. That's how, or that's not how we vibe. But it is, I bring this up because there is a point at which internally you have a struggle when you are doing something that is not, or that's counter to your faith. And you can do it for a while. Absolutely, you can do it for a while. You can get away with it for a while, but there will come a point in time where a choice has to be made. And I say this from, like, legit personal experience. Mm-hmm. You know, working in mainstream radio, it was the first 15 years of my career, and I did a lot of bad things. Yet it was weird because I was also a believer, and so I would be teaching boys 11th grade Sunday school and telling them not to listen to the radio show because you can't listen to it, it's bad. And then you're like, you're a hypocrite. I mean, mm-hmm. I struggled through that of being a hypocrite. Mm-hmm. And I was being well paid for my job, and so that was hard to walk away from that. But then that job really devolved, and my faith increased. And so it was kind of like when I was at odds, something had to change. And I remember my wife telling me, she's like, you just keep running around circles with God. It's like, you have to make a decision of the man you're going to be, and you have to be that. And she was really cool about it, too, because she goes, you know, I'm going to love you and stay with you regardless of what you choose. You know what I want you to choose, but you're going to have to make this decision. And that was part of what set me on this path towards leaving that behind and going and coming to Christian radio, you know, because this was a great outlet because I still got to do what I love doing. And really the only thing I'm halfway decent at, you know, to make a living. And I didn't think it was possible. And so for me, I'm super thankful to be able to do this every day because I love it. And it's a good, healthy thing. And it's a healthy thing for me. And so I kind of hope that this lady gets to that point where you're like, yeah, you can do things. Like, and I would distance myself from some of the bad things. And there were things that we did in our studio that I actually left the studio for, you know, because I'm like, look, I know it was like really raunchy stuff. And like, I know I didn't want to shut down what the show was or the guys on the show, you know, because that's what we were successful. And so I'm like, I didn't want to be that guy that was the offended stick in the mud, you know. And so instead of being part of it, I would extricate myself from it and be like, look, I know you guys are going to do this. Knock yourselves out. I'm going to step out of it, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's the same as getting the PG cut versus mm-hmm. standing up for my faith and just saying, you know what, I think I'm done with this. Mm-hmm. And it took me a while to get to that point. And who knows, maybe she'll get to that point. And I'm not judging her because I'm sure she's trying to navigate that too. But I just know that struggle mm-hmm. internally. It's kind of rough. Lady Rock, what do you have?
Well, if you've been on TikTok at any point in the past week, you've probably run across a video about JoJo Siwa.
Yeah, she used to be blowing me up.
She used to be JoJo with the Bobo.
Yeah.
She was
on Dance Moms.
She started out on Dance Moms. She was super young, just a little tiny kid. But she's now 20 years old, and she's only
20.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Oh, and she's doing that thing that Miley Cyrus did, that so many have done, where they go from this sweet, innocent act to now someone who is pushing the limits.
Yeah.
And so she's trying to do that now, and she's getting a lot of heat for it. She came out with a new song called Karma. I would not suggest it. But anyways, she comes across, when you watch these videos, she comes across as very, very comfortable in her own skin, very her biggest fan, very confident.
Yeah.
And then you read further into it. I found this article where she said that she admitted she's a super insecure person.
Sure.
And that she was insecure about her teeth, which if you've seen her teeth when she was younger, they're perfect. They're fine. There is nothing wrong with them at all. People would pay to have her teeth. But she spent $50,000 on new teeth, on veneers that look like perfection.
I mean, they're a little bit off,
but not like jacked up grill.
No,
yeah, not something that like maybe some braces could have handled for $4,000. Like,
yeah, $50,000—that's a lot of money.
$50,000 over something that you were insecure. I get, like, yeah, I can feel that way sometimes because my teeth aren't straight. But I know that it's not part of my identity,
right?
And so it's just scary to think that she's willing to spend $50,000 on something that minuscule. At least that's how I see it.
Sure.
Especially when you look at what she was working with, and there was nothing wrong with that. But to say that you're a super insecure person, you are setting yourself up for even more insecurity, because when your identity is woven into what others think of you, mm-hmm. the internet is a very negative place.
I do feel bad for her. And this is none of this is to be like, oh, I'm judging JoJo Siwa, because I do feel bad for her. If you are insecure and you put yourself into that spotlight, you are going to take so many arrows. And mm-hmm. she's going to take some that are justified and some that are not. And they all sting, you know, especially if you don't have the thick skin to handle it. But then she gets this bravado of, well, I don't care. I don't care. I guarantee you they eat her. They eat mm-hmm. her alive in her mm-hmm. quiet moments, you know. Mm-hmm. And she already wasn't, yeah. like, on the best mental health track, you know. She was that kid. And I would say for her, I know there are people that are gay and they're like, I've always felt this way, you know, whatever. I'm not debating any of that stuff. But she is somebody that I don't believe. Mm. When it comes to, like, her coming out. Mm. And this is why. I think she was so desperate to be liked, accepted, seen. And when that community embraces you, because to them, everything is okay except for Christians. Everything's okay. If you're a believer, then you're ignorant, racist, bigot, whatever. Mm. And so, but if you love, you know, anything, then you're in our group. And I think that they were like, yeah, we love you so much, and they rally around her. But now she's saying dumb things that's actually making some of them step away from her. But if I were a betting person, I would venture to say that you will see her somewhere a few years from now be like, oh yeah, I'm you know, not gay anymore kind of thing. Because mm-hmm. I truly, truly believe that it was one of those things with her. It was the influence of everybody around her. And I've seen this happen in so many kids that are broken. And so they gravitate towards the thing that just accepts them, you know? Mm-hmm. I could be 100% wrong. And we'll save this tape, and you can watch it in 5 years, 10 years from now, see if I'm right. Exactly. We'll put it in a time capsule. But I think that I just truly believe that she was unduly influenced, and that led her to where she. It's all of her behavior too. It's like all showing. It's all show. Like the song talks about, or she's being interviewed, and they're like, you know, who would you want to have on your podcast? Let's spice it up, my ex. You know, like she's so.
Which that sounds for like the voice itself is yeah. something that sounds so.
She's so hard being like,
and a
look,
terrible choice.
I'm out, and I have an ex, and I have a past, and I, you know,
I'm
so
crazy.
Hard trying to prove like herself. That is, I mean, that is the crazy thing to me within like LGBTQ stuff is that. They're allowed to have every opinion, and you have to accept everything they believe, but they don't have to accept that you don't believe what they believe. Mm-hmm. And they're mm-hmm. very militant about it. And you know, I was listening to this one guy on TikTok. I don't know if we talked about this yet or not, but he was like, look, this is the answer to all this. Shut up. Stop talking about yourself and whining about all this stuff. People will not hate you. If you just live your life and yeah. stay away from kids and stop forcing your agenda on everybody else— people won't hate you.
It's kind of like nobody wants their home to be broken into, so stop breaking into people's
right,
you know, mental
yes.
space yeah. by trying to, you know, force it on. I will say one thing too, that, you know, in a way that we don't allow kids to like have a cell phone or to have a social media presence. Facebook doesn't let you have a, you know, an account until a certain age. It'd be so great if kids didn't have to be famous from
yeah.
super young ages too, because it does seem like kids, and it's not one for one, but it does seem like these kids have to deal with the world knowing who they are, which is just an inherent amount of pressure, or at least amount of thought space that takes up in your head. And I can see how that would be tough.
No one's ready. No one's wired for fame.
You shouldn't be able to claim fame until you're 18 or older.
Even then, fame is so difficult. Fame and money are two very difficult things to balance, and they can undo you. And when you're not, this is the funny thing too. We're like, yeah, but at 18, you're not really old enough to vote even. Yet at 8, you're like, hey, choose your gender. Like, it's just like that adults, rational adults, actually believe that that is healthy and is a good thing is mind-boggling to me. We don't let you drink. We don't let you vote at 18 because you're not old enough to handle it or responsible enough. But literally a 5-year-old could like get their gender change. It's lunacy, man. And this is the weird world we're living in. Unfortunately, it takes people saying enough. I'm not going to cater to your delusion anymore, which then makes you hateful and cancelable. But honestly, like that's kind of where I've hit, where I'm like, cancel me. Don't care. Honestly, I do not care.
Might be better off.
I would be. Yeah, I would be better off. But then the funny thing is, it's like, I think an idea for a podcast would be the Cancel Me podcast, and everything you do is just stop taking anybody's garbage. It would be listened to by everyone that agrees with you and by everyone that hates you. And it would grow. That's what Howard Stern did. Howard Stern, like him or not, as far as radio goes, what his content was a genius and a master manipulator of people, because they did like studies on why people listened to him. Mm-hmm. And the people that loved him were like, we listen because we want to hear what he says next. And then they go to the people that hate him. We want to listen because we want to hear what he says next. Mm-hmm. Like, he was so good at creating that world where even the people that hated him still listened because they wanted to be offended by him, you know? Mm-hmm. And I honestly think if someone did a podcast like that today, it would be huge. It's funny because we were talking about this earlier in the show, just in between songs. And I was like, yeah, a podcast that just incites people or just like gets them all riled up and doesn't care about being canceled would be great. I'd love to be on that. And Gavin's like, you mean like the Daily Wire? I'm like, that was really astute. Yeah.
It's the same thing.
It really is.
It really is. They do exist to push back, which I think there is I think there's a necessity to pushing back, but I also think they exist just to make people upset,
this is the thing. Back to that guy's theory of just shut up and live, and we're not going to bother you. If you had not swung so far to this lunacy left, you would not have the extreme right having to feel like I've got to push back against you and I've got to shove you back into a box and I've got to stop you.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have that. You know, it's basically living out equal and opposite reaction. Newton's theory is also political. Mm-hmm. You know, it's for them, it's the theory of relativity and all of these things are like science-based, but it's also political. I don't think that when people are more moderate and are balanced and you're not out pushing things on people, people won't resist you. But the minute you start pushing your ideology, it's like why people resist faith. Because if Christians are like, I do believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. So, like, I'm going to be very clear about that. But when people say, well, my way is the only way, my religion, my denomination is the only way, of course people are going to push back. Of course you're going to have people that are like, well, that's not true. And so that's a hard one to navigate. And it's a hard truth that I believe fervently, you know. And so I think you still have to navigate that truth with kindness and grace inside of that for somebody that doesn't share what you necessarily believe.
And you also have to have, you know, if you're going to go out there and have, you know, present a tough argument, a tough thing for, let's say, the left to hear, and then they do come back at you in a crazy way.
Right.
You also still have to be ready to not lash back.
Like, right.
It's not a boxing match. And that's part of the effect of Jesus telling us to turn the other cheek is that I think, and he was good at it. Jesus could turn the other cheek, but he was also really good at being active and righteously ferocious when he needed to in calling people out.
Yeah, and he excelled at love too. You know, he excelled at truth with love, you know, and that was his bread and butter. And I love the fact too, because we were talking about, again, during the show, during songs, the importance of Jesus in faith as far as being here on earth and experiencing what we experience. And it's being able to point back to how did he handle a situation. Mm-hmm. And he was so good with the lost. That's what I've always loved about him. My pastor used to say, people who are nothing like Jesus, you know, because he was so good with the broken. You know, I didn't come here to heal the well. I came here to heal the sick. He was so good with the outcast and the people that the church or the religious leaders at the time had turned their back on. And he was contentious with the religious and the oversaved and the people that were trying to be bad representatives of him and of God. Mm-hmm. And so it'll be interesting to see. Heaven's going to be fascinating, you know, because it talks about seeing people that you don't expect to see there and then people you expect to see, they're not seeing them. Mm-hmm. That's going to be, give me some popcorn. I'm going to sit there and just watch that and be like, no, oh, I knew it. I knew it.
Also, just hope we're there.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be there. But I'm like, oh, fingers crossed for Betty Rock. How's it going to go?
If you make it, anyone can.
That's very true, actually. I set the bar low. Yeah. All right. Well, do you got any birthdays?
I don't, but I can do a question.
Let's
if
do a
you
question,
like.
Yeah, especially something less political.
We've been
what do you
serious
say?
Serious these okay. last 2 days.
I know. I want to lighten it up.
Brooke wants to know, do you prefer standard time or daylight savings time?
which one's which? I don't even.
I always forget. I guess daylight
what
savings
is
when you switch the clock and you get more
daylight
time,
savings.
I think. Or is it when it gets shorter? I never know. Can you Google it? Like, it always confuses me.
Hmm.
Let's
but
just
do you
say,
like it? Do you like it getting darker quicker?
Later. I like,
you
it,
like
darker
it darker later.
Later. Mm-hmm. I love it darker later because I like to do stuff and I like it. I like being out as long as I can. Mm-hmm. Or if I want to mow my lawn at 7 in the, at night, I can do it. So I'd much rather. Whatever that is, I'm a fan of that.
Okay,
and
so
I wish we would just keep that.
Hmm.
I don't think we should be switching back and forth. Just keep one.
So mm-hmm. daylight savings time is... This is summer.
Okay.
Like what we're going, date. There it is. March 10th through November 3rd. Wow, that's a lot.
So we're in daylight
savings
time.
In daylight savings time.
Yes.
Which is interesting. It's so much longer than the standard time.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm a fan.
Why is this not standard time?
Do you like it dark earlier?
There's pros and cons to both.
Because you're like, I could sleep at 4:30.
Yeah, because it all comes back to, you know, we did that story about sunshine guilt, and
yeah.
that's where this comes into play, okay? So, for instance, yesterday I got home. I wanted to take a nap. I constantly go through the, you shouldn't do that. Like, you're just sleeping your day away.
Do you have
you
nap
need to
guilt?
Be outside. And yeah, nap guilt.
Oh, no.
But anyways, when you go into, you're losing time and now it's getting dark at like 4:30. I feel like there's more of an acceptance to staying home.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard my mom say the same thing too. It's kind of like you just feel like it's okay to not go out. It's okay to just stay
home. Because it's dark,
home.
It's nighttime.
Right.
Right.
So that's a pro. Whereas on the other side, there is a pro to just seeing more daylight, mm-hmm. you know, because we just don't get that much of it our jobs.
I agree with that. Something you said just made me think of this. I don't know why, but yesterday, Gavin, we had a question we were doing, and we didn't even get to Gavin's. We went off on this long
tangent about how you want to be remembered.
Yes. How was that, Gavin? Like, I want to make sure we come back to that today.
I don't need it, but I appreciate it.
Yeah.
The how I want to be remembered yes. when I pass is similar to how people get these gender reveal golf balls with the
yes.
color of blue or pink dust in there.
Mm-hmm.
Put me in a golf ball.
And then smack it.
I want
it.
My buddies to go to this certain hole on a golf course that we
yeah.
play a lot.
Okay.
That's just got kind of a drop off and just smack me into the...
Into the abyss.
Into the abyss.
I love that.
And Haley can hit one too.
Yeah. Yeah, there's enough of you to go around.
I hope.
Oh, there'll be a lot of sleeves of balls, Gavin, let's be honest. there's enough for all of us to take a whack at you. All right.
Ouch.
I am curious how... Because when someone dies and they cremate them, you do get a big box.
It's a urn, right?
Like, well, it's a urn.
An urn.
You're like her dad, a urinal. Bury me in one of them urinals there,
yeah,
dude.
Probably what I was thinking.
It's an urn.
Urn.
And you get a big urn that has like a lot of it. Then you can get little urns. Like my wife has now her brother, her mom, and her dad, little urns. I don't know how much it actually makes. It seems like a decent amount of dust.
It does. And then I was listening to a podcast recently where he was a organ donor, and I thought, does that mean he has less dust?
Yeah, I mean, it would theoretically you would have less dust.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
How many? What's the large Coke size?
Like, if you get 2 liter.
Oh my goodness. This says that this is just, I hate that I've now Googled this, but how much ash comes from a cremation.
I love this, yes.
Is 3 to 3.5 liters.
Oh, so over a 2 liter bottle.
It's a ton of golf balls.
Like, that's like, I don't even know what a gallon is to a liter, but it's got to be more than a gallon. Yeah. It's got to be more than 2 liters.
Wow.
Wow, that is a lot.
Ew.
And especially, too, like, let's say you happen to be a little overweight.
Oh, there's the child's.
Look at the child one.
Oh, my goodness.
Why would you do that to yourself?
That
one's bad.
That's terrible.
But yeah, that's crazy. That's way more than I thought.
Me too.
Holy cow.
I wouldn't think. But again, like you said, there's a lot.
If weight matters. Like, let's say you're 6'4 and 300 pounds.
Yeah, if you're taller,
does fat become ash?
Yeah. And you would actually.
Or does it melt?
You can actually make a diamond.
You would think it would melt.
Out of your ashes, too. They make a diamond out of them, which is, you know, because you're carbon, basically. So. Time and pressure.
It's a weird thing that whenever you read the Bible and it's just dust to dust, ash to ash, like it's a weird, you read it and you're like, oh, that sounds cool.
Yeah.
But then when you think about it, I don't want to be a waste of space in the ground either.
No, honest. I don't ever want to be buried.
But then cremation, I feel like everything costs money. Yeah. I wish that dying was free.
Yeah.
To other people.
Well, so much for keeping it light.
Yeah, sorry.
The last words of the podcast.
You wanted to know.
I wish dying was free.
I don't want to be a waste of space in the ground. You heard it here first.
All right. Well, that's going to do it on a happy week. Tomorrow, when we do the aftercast, I'm bringing in all happy stories.
I'm going to end with something positive.
Please
something
do.
Funny.
That would be so good.
There is a texting group that Marty, Wally's
wife. I'm just
wife,
looking at this now.
And I started, and it's called Wally's Babysitters. Uh-huh. And so this grown man.
That's
needs
hilarious.
Two women to handle his affairs because he can't get it straight. So I'm out running errands yesterday. I get a text from this texting group from Marty, and it says, hey, Wally
What's
has
What's it called?
A- Wally's Babysitters.
You said that?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, I missed it.
And it's just the two of you.
Yeah, it's the three of us. Wally's in it. He can see it.
Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah. So anyways, Marty sends me a text message yesterday, and she said, hey, Wally's got a dentist appointment on this time at this day. And I said, great. And so I am sitting there in the parking lot. I'm going to add it to our work schedule so that we're all reminded. And I look and see he's already scheduled it, but for 8:30 p.m. So this is the reason why he needs two babysitters, because he can't get the time right.
My Outlook does something weird.
It's
like,
the Outlook.
It does. It does something weird. If one way, if I double click to do a new event, it brings up this window where you've got to put the time in. Another way, it doesn't give me that option. And so I did the other way, unfortunately. And then I was writing in it, Wally Dentist 12, so I could see what time it was. Because otherwise it buries it. Yeah, because otherwise it buries it. Or you have to expand the calendar to see what time it is. So I just write the time in. So yeah, it said it on the calendar for 8, but I had written Wally 12, so I knew what time it was. See?
What?
He can't get the settings right on where to set the time.
Sure.
So instead of getting that right, he just scheduled it for whenever.
I just wrote Wally 12. Right.
He put Wally dentist appointment
at 8:30. But then it says,
in the title it says at noon.
Like Outlook
that's
put it
smart.
At 8:30, but I just put it at
is
noon.
It?
Yeah, because that's what I'm going to look at. I'm not going to expand it.
Yeah, if you're seeing the day and seeing the block just
right,
on a part
quick,
of the day,
yeah.
On Outlook, on our email, it just is on the day. It doesn't. You have to click into it to see the
And I
graph.
Hate clicking into it.
Yeah. But I like things to be organized.
Right.
So she sent me a text to let me know. So I got it rescheduled. But now she's got it rescheduled for a different day. And she texted us while we were in this aftercast. And so I'm changing it there.
And then
she dropped a little bit of wisdom. She said, he forgot your buffalo chicken dip today.
Was that
Wally?
Today?
Yeah.
Was that today?
Have you been trying to cover it up? Were you going to come in tomorrow and bring it
what?
And be like, look what we made?
You know,
I know.
She's
now
back
I can't do
home.
That. I know. I forgot. I had.
Why did you? Why don't
I
you?
I had
even
my
know?
Hands full today. I had a Starbucks coffee, my water, two backpacks, and then because I'm going to the shooting range today, I had my rifle case. So I had my hands completely full as I walked into my car, and I did not even. Think about grabbing the buffalo chicken
that's
dip.
Like,
but that said, you didn't even know
language.
It was coming in today. So
well, now here, I do.
Well, now you can look forward to it tomorrow. Now you have something to look forward to. You're welcome.
Unless
you
forget.
I forget it, yeah.
And then I'm never going to get it because we're going on a trip.
Right.
Can you put a little reminder in your calendar that just says grab?
Please?
Like for whenever.
For 8:30.
For whenever. But yeah, for 8:30, but say grab.
That's true. I'm going to do that right now.
Yeah.
I'm
grab
gonna...
Betty's buffalo
I don't
want
to blame my wife on this, but usually if there's something that has to go to Betty from the fridge the next morning, I have it put with my water or my coffee or whatever I'm bringing in so that I see it.
Why
if it's on a lower shelf, I'm not going to see it. I don't know why she didn't do that.
I don't know why she
I don't know.
Didn't do that. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know why.
So another thing that we have shared on our phones is that I have set reminders. So I can make it where a reminder is going to go off on all three of our phones at a certain time.
And this doesn't even impact me.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what's going to happen. So around what time do you leave your house?
He lives at like in the morning? 4:30.
Yeah. Yeah, so
4:30.
Yeah, set it for like 4:15, just so I know.
4:15.
Yeah.
Okay, this is going off tomorrow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, this is where you need to know how to do the scheduling correctly, because if I were to put in there, grab the buffalo dip at 4:15, right. You would never get the notification,
right?
Because it's not set at the right time.
Because sometimes though, some places they're really set up to automatically go to PM. Like I set an earlier alarm to get up the other day to come in, and I set it, and then I went to bed, and then I woke up at 11, and I'll just double check, and I looked, I opened it, and I had set it for 4 p.m.
Oh, yeah, so you wouldn't have missed it. Yeah,
it would have been a bummer.
I'm labeling it, grab the buffalo dip, or you will pay, and then I'm going to put a little emoji with a knife.
That's so great.
I got the reminder.
Is there a weird part of me that hopes two things, that one, I forget the buffalo dip, and two, I'm stabbed tomorrow? randomly from some stranger, so that when they look through Betty Rock's text,
I'm like, no, it was a joke.
It wasn't me. I swear, it had nothing to do with that. And I'm like, I think she did it. It was her.
So you didn't die in this situation?
I don't want to die, but I definitely would be like, I think it was her. She smelled of Buc-ee's.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's gonna do it for our aftercast for today. And thanks for being a potty.
Growing up in poverty has never been easy for children, but with the added challenges of the pandemic, conflict, and natural disasters, families around the world are facing an unprecedented food crisis. Unfortunately, those who are already hungry are now even more desperate. But by sponsoring a child through Compassion, you can help provide life-sustaining essentials such as food and clean water. And with your compassionate support, that child can not only survive, but also flourish. You can find out how and choose a child to sponsor when you click on the Compassion banner at wayfm.com.